Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. It is Monday, August 20th, and we have another exciting broadcast with a special guest. Mitch Keiter is with us. We always like having Mitch on the broadcast, but Joe heard him speak recently at the Lenders One conference. Joe called me and said, Dave, we got to get Mitch back on the broadcast. He brought a message to us at this conference that said we are at a crossroads in our industry. In fact, we're at a point where if we do not take action, it's possible our industry will never be the same again. We have him here, and we're going to be going through a lot of those talking points that he delivered at that conference and even updated things that have developed even since then. There's so much going on in our industry right now, folks, that it is almost impossible to stay up on top of it all. This is truly a pivotal time in our country and in our industry. So we're excited to have Mitch on the broadcast, and we have Alice Alvey back from vacation. So good to have Alice back and be a part of the broadcast again. But without further ado, let's find out what's happening in the world of interest rates.
Joe Farr, good to have you on the broadcast. You are off and traveling this week, Joe. Where are you going to be this week?
Well, we're going to Park City, Utah.
Oh. Going
to spend some time in the cool weather up there and try to fly fish and take a balloon ride, do things I hadn't done in a while.
Ah, it sounds like a great time. And anyone who lives in Central Texas can appreciate the fact you want to escape the heat. And it's
highs are in the 70s up there.
Oh, man, and it's in the hundreds here. So it'll be good. Have a great time. But talk about something else that's been hot this week is the markets. Give us a report.
Oh, yeah. Well, the snowball's gathering speed, David. It started, speaking of Park City, Utah, it started in late July, and it has really it's really picked up. Mortgage rates have MBS prices are falling, and mortgage rates are rising. Going back to kind of what started it, it was the week that the ECB meeting, our president came out and said they'll do whatever it takes to preserve the euro. And since then, that's really the turning point. We'd seen a steady improvement in prices, and since then we've seen a steady decrease in prices.
Right.
And so, and looking back over the time, there's been about a 200-point drop in price and about a 3/8% rise in rates. Who knows if it's going to continue or not, but, it's all been based on expectations and perceptions. I mean, Draghi's comment came with very little detail.
Yep.
And, it was corroborated somewhat this week, which helped speed up that drop in prices this week, as Angela Merkel basically said, we stand ready to do it as well. We stand ready to do whatever it takes to preserve the euro. So that added a little comfort to the market in that Germany can actually do something about it.
And has plans to do something about it. That
right.
I think is most. I mean, Germany is the key to anything happening in Europe. They took the steps under Schroeder to take the steps to austerity to bring them around. But like you say,
no,
I think you amply point out it's still based on impressions and good intentions,
mm-hmm.
and the really big details are not yet disclosed. So that's
very, very little change in the fundamentals.
Yep.
the governments that are in trouble are still in trouble. They're spending more than they're taking in, and they've got debt issues, and those interest rates they're paying on the debt, even though they may be down just a little bit, they're still very, very high and unsustainable. So, it's going to take some action. It's just that the market believes that action might come at least to prevent a catastrophic event. And as a result, stocks have benefited. If you own stocks, you're pretty happy right now.
Yeah.
We're real close to four-year highs.
I just caution everyone's optimism. I want to believe that we're truly on a recovery, that Europe's starting to settle down, but I tell you, Joe, I'm a little dubious about this, and I think this is a time where We're going to have continued volatility when we see anything happening in here, so we could see a rally in rates.
Well, going back to this week, retail sales were very strong relative to prior months, relative to over history, not, but relative to prior months, retail sales came in strong, which kind of helped fuel not only the effect of Europe and easing concerns about Europe, fueling the drop in MBS prices. There's also been some belief that the U.S. economy is improving somewhat, and that kind of began close to the same comments as the jobs report that came out early in August was better than expected. Retail sales were better than expected. They seem to be dismissing the things that aren't better than expected, like a couple of the manufacturing indexes this month, but or this week. The construction permits rose to the highest level in 4 years.
Right, now that's significant.
This week, which was kind of big. And so, the combination of the two, growing comfort or maybe expectation for improving economic conditions here, expectations for maybe not as catastrophic an event in Europe is really what's fueled this. And so we'll be looking next week at things like the minutes from the Fed meeting come out on Wednesday. Those are always a good indicator of what's truly behind the Fed action. And people will be looking for their differences in the expectations for future growth and the outlook for various events. Housing data next week on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday's existing home sales, Thursday's new home sales. And with a lot of people believing that the housing market is coming around and is going to help lead the economic growth of the country,
right,
these numbers will be extremely important, I think. And then durable orders comes out on Friday. But really, next week's a relatively quiet week compared to the one we just went through.
There's no question all eyes are continuing on Europe. Do you think Asia or China is going to have any surprises in there for us that could impact any of that?
They're a big part of the world economy, as we all know, and they have been slowing down. But they're slowing from 8% GDP to 7.5% GDP.
Yeah, so it's still strong.
It's relative there as well. But everything is weighing in on it, and anybody's indication of changing economic activity is amplified right now.
And if it's not confusing enough to track and see what's real and what's perception, we have an election year.
And major tax policy revisions coming ahead if things aren't done. And, it's big.
There's just so many dynamics in the market, more so than we've ever had. I tell you, I was talking to someone about our broadcast, and they were saying, Dave, you know what? It's so nice to have a broadcast where we could tune in and listen to commentary and perspective. There's so much hunger for information out there, Joe, and I appreciate you bringing us a rate update and also being just such a valuable partner to this radio broadcast each and every week. And I value the updates that come out of the MBS quote line system. It's just so nice, and I appreciate and I value how concise and to the point they are. You can read them in a second or two, and you get a sense of what's going on. Really appreciate it, Joe.
Absolutely, Dave.
It's good to have you with us. You have a great week this week in Utah. We'll look forward to having you back on the broadcast next week. Folks, stay tuned. Remember, later in the broadcast, we've got Mitch Keiter. In fact, I just got off the phone with Mitch Keiter a little bit ago. I'm very excited to have you listen to that broadcast. So stay tuned all the way through the rest of the broadcast. Great commentary on where we're at as a country, where we're at, and the inflection points. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us. I thought Alice Alvey was going to be with us. I just got a message that she is tied up in a meeting and she can't join it. I'll tell you, Alice, I mean, you won't believe what Alice has overcome to be a part of this broadcast each and every week. So it had to be a really important meeting. She loves being here with you, but she did send me some notes and told me some things to share with you. The most significant thing that happened was one of the things that we're going to get into this next week and next week's broadcast was CFPB. Our beloved CFPB proposes mortgage originator compensation and qualification rules. So that, on August 17th, that proposal was put out. Maybe Mitch can give us some details on that, but the proposal seeks to amend regulation regarding upfront points and fees and a loan originator compensation. So it's a big deal, especially when it comes to those of you involved in the loan origination part of it. It's interesting how it's going to prohibit the creditor or the mortgage broker from imposing upfront fees unless they first offer the consumer an alternative, no fee, no points, no zero kind of alternative loans. And if they do that and the consumer passes on that, then they can offer a program regarding fees. Now, the exception to that is if in the event that a no point, no fee loan, the borrower doesn't qualify and it's not something that they can do, there is a point where they can get around that rule. So it's just real interesting some of the things that are developing there. Should get out there and talk about, read what's out there. Alice has published some information. You can Google it. The latest proposed rules. Also go to the LinkedIn discussion group that I started a couple years ago when we start getting more regulation on how our loan originators are compensated. We started the Loan Originator Compensation New Rules discussion group in LinkedIn. And so if you're a LinkedIn member already, go to that, do search and groups, take a look at the discussion that's going on out there. There's a lot of chatter about it. I'm sure it's going to be explosive volume about chatter on those lines, lots of opinions being shared. All I ask is when you're making an opinion on it, just keep it civil. There's some pretty strong opinions being delivered at various times, and they're also not always so nice in the way they do it. So we ask you to be civil. We want the debate. We like reading it. It helps all of us as we analyze the issue. So anyway, loan officer compensation is out there. Mortgage rate, the new rules just proposed by the CFPB are out there. And the comment period on this closes October 16th. It's not a lot of time, folks, and it's really important we get out there. Lots of more about that. Email us and we'll get you the information and links to that if you want. Also, the federal regulators propose a new appraisal rules. There's some new appraisal rules out there. Not going to get into all of that. We'll get in more of that next week. Alice and her team are studying that. I think the most significant part that in the regulatory update that I want to get into was the Treasury's announcement to step up the wind down of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. On August 17th, the U.S. Treasury announced its steps to accelerate, quote-unquote, accelerate the wind-down of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. In getting ready for this broadcast, I had a delightful conversation with a good friend of mine, Les Parker. He's one of the critical thinkers in our industry. If you're not subscribed to Les Parker's daily blog or his newsletter, you should definitely do there. Google it. And you can request to get a part of it. He opens it up pretty much to anybody in the industry, and it's a great blog. That and Rob Crispin's are a couple of really good blogs to read. But anyway, I was talking to Les about this, and what this really signifies is it's really bad news for anyone who is holding any stock. No one else here around here is holding any Fannie Mae stock, were they? Well, there was a few of us that had a little optimism, may have gone out and bought something. Well, unfortunately, the equity holders are pretty much taking it in the shorts. The value of the stock is down 65-70% the last time I checked. Just really cratered the stock values because they're going away. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are winding it down. So it's clear that we're never going to see a return to the days where we had a Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. But what's interesting and absent from the discussion is what's going to replace it. The MBA has a proposal out there, and I'm sure that's going to start getting some traction and at least some discussion on it. And it's something we really are going to want to pay attention to. Anyway, Treasury's announcement that they're winding it down. Les Parker did a great piece on this last week. Email me. I'll forward it to you so you can have it if you'd like it. Also, the Reuters liked it so much, they just republished it word for word. So you can take a look at do a several Google search, take a look at Reuters' piece. It is a republishing by permission of what Les Parker wrote. Great stuff
very interesting information, and I strongly recommend you get through it. There's a lot more regulation. Folks, it's a tsunami of regulation coming into it. And seeing as we have Mitch Kiter going to be on the broadcast here in just a short amount of time, we're going to really save the rest of this discussion until then. Quick note, I will be appearing on CNBC here at 3 p.m. Eastern time today, and I'm having a debate with one of the Obama administration's advisors. And it's the question that we're debating is, did the Obama administration do enough to stimulate housing? It should be a great discussion, a great debate. So for those of you that are listeners, regular listeners, tune in to CNBC today at 3 o'clock Eastern time. The rest of you in the rest of the time zones can calculate when it'll be on. Should be live is what my understanding is, and it's a live debate. It's a great debate. I look forward to these, especially when there's such a clear contrast. So welcome your feedback. And any ideas you think I should share, get them to me before the broadcast. I would love that very much. Also, I'll be on Fox News, Fox Business, talking about housing on Wednesday. Appreciate you tuning in to these broadcasts. Welcome your feedback. And it's always fun to get out there and make commentary in the marketplace about what's going on. I like to hear from our listeners, and it's really valuable when you give me some information. So anyway, Alice, unfortunately, could not make the broadcast today. She says she's going to be back next week. Looking forward to her. Man, we miss that cheerful voice. Us guys hanging around here, we just really need Alice's cheerful voice in, especially when we're talking about some of this regulation. Folks, we'll be right back. And remember, we got Mitch Kiter coming up just right around the corner. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin'.
Good to have you back with us. Alice was telling me how busy she is. You know, for those of us who are business advisors in the marketplace, we are overwhelmed with requests. What do we do about this? This radio broadcast just touches the surface and really gets out there, just really scratches the surface on it. We've got the Profit Doctor on here. Now, you guys, everyone who's listened to the Profit Doctor in the segment last week, you know we have a new name for the Profit Doctor, who also is best known as Andy Schell as a legal name, but Profit Doctor is now also referred to as the Mortgage Yoda. Remember the movie, the Star Trek movie?
Star Wars,
excuse me. And Yoda was saying, don't try, do.
Basically,
that's, I always summarize it, I always mess it up. But anyway, we're in the Austin studios today, and I have Andy Schell sitting right next to me.
Oh, my gosh.
It's such a pleasure. So it's a little more dynamic than we normally have it. Normally, we're in several locations, so it's good to be here with you, Andy.
Don't want to talk too much, you're going to hit me this time. Instead of just muting me.
I can now grab We could just mute it out, but this way I can give you a big high sign.
Let me comment real quick. I was sitting here with you now live.
Yes.
And so I was watching him go through some of the notes for the legislative update.
Yeah.
And he read part of the first part and some of the second part. But what people don't understand is that there's 10 pages here.
Yes.
You hit part of the first page, a little bit of the second page, and it goes on for 10 pages.
10 pages.
It is amazing how much stuff there is. We just scratched the surface.
Well, and I think that's why Alice got pulled away by a client that had to talk to her right now. It's digesting all this. Now we got Mitch coming on, and Mitch is flying around the country, Andy, talking to all these industry professionals. You are around the country. There's just not enough of us out there doing this, and so I think there's a real demand for advisors. I think that's a significant of the conditions, what's going on, folks. You can't do this alone. I spoke up in Michigan. You know what the title of my speech was? You can't go it alone. You've got to get advisors. So, Mr. Schell.
Yes, sir.
Looking at these 10 pages and what's going on, what's your words of wisdom? Here, Yoda, don't try, do. All right.
You do not try, just do. Well, the first point is be prepared.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be a Boy Scout.
be prepared. So get your handy dandy multifaceted knife and get ready to get.
Well, we thought we understood LOCOMP, and we thought we built our system to support LOCOMP, and now there's a possible change to the LOCOMP.
Right.
And did we really even do it right the first time? And then we didn't report it right the first time, and we don't even know yet for sure. And now it's going to change again. So you've got to be – one of the phrases that one of our associates likes to bring up is the dynamics of rapid change.
Yes.
In our
great
technology
phrase.
Group. And that's just got to be what you – right on your wall and just accept that, the dynamics of rapid change. What is this going to mean to your business?
And it's here. It's upon us. It's not going away. If anything – the dynamics of the rapid change part, the rapid change part is accelerating, especially with the U.S. Treasury's announcement of the wind down of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac with no mention of what's going to replace them. So change is coming. It is essential that people get some perspective of where things are going.
Well, I think one of the really important points is to accept the fact that it is going to change and embrace yourself to process the change. You know, when Dave, as we were in high school or in the 70s, there was this book that came out called Future Shock.
Yes, great.
And it talked about changing the accelerating press and how the printing press business and how it accelerated. And it talked about change from the turn of the century through the 60s. And so what's interesting is from the 60s to the 2010s, it's accelerated at an exponential rate, not just linear, but an exponential pace.
Right.
We're continuing to accelerate. Everybody needs to get the book, Who Moved My Cheese?
Yes.
Read it every day, every week.
Yep.
Stay fresh on that because you can't live in how it was. And we want to. Everybody wants to understand what it is, be able to go home at night and be confident tomorrow will be as they expect it to be.
Yeah, for those that don't like change, this is not a good environment. We are dealing with change. It's dynamic and it's going to just continue to come.
And so the best way to deal with change is to, one, accept the fact that there's an emotional connection to stability. People want to feel like...
It's a great point.
Yeah, people want to feel like it's going to be like it's been. They enjoy knowing. Even if people are okay with change, they still like feeling like they know. And now all this changing happens, people react in a couple different ways. One is the ostrich effect.
Right.
You know, stick your head in the ground and just hope it's all going to be the same. We know that's not going to work.
That's right.
We've seen people do that. They've already blown up.
Yep.
So those that really adapt best to the change are those that are going to survive. And you do that by understanding the change, understanding your business, understanding how the dynamics of this change affects your business, and embrace the fact that rapid change is something that's going to happen and happen more quickly than we probably ever dreamed. And how are you going to do that when you're full-time busy running your business?
The only way you can stay on top of it is by listening to a broadcast of this, reading incessantly what's going on, but then it's really getting good advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Mitch coming on, great advisor. You going around helping a lot of people sort through the operational aspects about it is a great advisor. There's a lot of good resources in the industry. It's not like there's not resources. The MBA is a resource. The MBA is putting on a webinar tomorrow about how to apply for Ginnie Mae servicing approval,
right.
How to become an approved seller servicer. Great one. It's a good kind of, boy, anyone who's wanting that, get signed up. I talked to Michael Drain last week, who's the heads up the single family program. I'm really looking forward to this. Michael's a great guy. I tell you, the folks at Ginnie Mae are trying hard. If you're frustrated that it's taken a year, 2 years to get approved, let me tell you, if you understood all the issues going on there at Ginnie Mae, you'd be a little more empathetic. We're in there. We've got a lot of clients we're helping through that journey. And
with Campus MBA, we're launching our accounting webinar series again coming up in a couple of weeks.
Too. Another area. Look at the change. Like you said, loan officer compensation. We just got used to the way it was. Now it's going to be changing again. And this time, Mitch is going to be getting on in just a minute. We're going to have on just after this break. Mitch is going to talk about CFP audits. Andy, what's so fascinating about that, Mitch has been sitting in on the audit.
Oh, great.
I can't wait for you guys to listen to what this is. Appreciate you being with us on the broadcast. Yoda, Mortgage Yoda, Profit Doctor, also best known to all of us, beloved Andy Schell, good to have you where be with
you,
us.
You do or do not, you do not try.
You
don't try to be compliant. You are compliant.
There's no
try.
The
You do compliance. You do follow the rules. You do your accounting right. You do your metrics right. You do your cash flow forecast right. And you accept the fact that there's rapid change.
It is coming. And the penalties of not doing it right, Well, it's pretty ugly.
Just don't even go there.
Just do it.
Like Nagy.
That's the Yoda. Well, we got it, folks. We've got the mortgage Yoda. So we're maybe putting you, if you hear the mortgage Yoda speaking at some conference, run out there and grab it. Look forward to being right back with you. Stay tuned after this brief break. Mitch Kider's coming up. Be right back. Thank you.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability.
With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals.
New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900.
Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. Andy and I were just talking during the break about some of the conferences that are coming up. A really important one, we're going to be talking about one of the MBAs here, taking a break when we're talking to Mitch. But one of the conferences coming up that he's speaking at is in November about the accounting. Andy, tell us a little briefly about that, because that's an important one, especially with all the changes going on there.
Yes, the Accounting and Financial Management Workshop that the NBA puts on every year.
Good.
NBA Nationals, not the regional or state conference. And we're going to be talking about, interestingly enough, all kinds of...
Yeah, you were muted, so they're hearing you through the night, so you got to repeat that real quick.
Okay. Going to be speaking in San Diego at the NBA Financial Management and Accounting Workshop. A lot of times we talk about things like updates and FASB and, you know, gap adjustments and tax effect, and it's like, who cares? You talk about boring stuff. This time, actually, I and one of our associates, Teresa and I, are going to be speaking about bank valuation of acquiring mortgage banks and mortgage banks looking at buying banks and all the merger and acquisition activity and valuation and cash flow assessment about both the cash flow side of a bank buying a mortgage company or vice versa. Although we don't hear the vice versa very much.
No, we don't.
No. And the philosophical integrations that happen and the reporting requirements that happen.
This could be
all
great.
The things that hit. Because we're doing this all around the country for company, for commercial banks buying mortgage banks. It's a huge
That's a lot area. And we're busy in the M&A area, but I want to get off to Mitch. Mitch Kider, so good to have you on the broadcast. Appreciate you taking time. I mean, we all have busy schedules, but Mitch Kider, you are one traveling son of a gun, and you are out there and taking a few minutes out, especially sitting on hold while we do the rest of the broadcast, to be here with us. I want to say thank you so much, Mitch.
Hey, it's always my pleasure to be with you guys. Thank you.
It is always a pleasure to have you. One of the reasons, folks, I'm such a fan of Mitch. There's many great attorneys out there. Mitch is a champion of our industry, folks. And Joe was telling me how, Mitch, he were at another conference in San Diego, and then you ended up leaving that conference, flew to Chicago, spoke at the Lenders One, and then flew back. Mitch, your frequent flyer miles must be through the top, but it really speaks to your passion to get the word out. So that's why we have you here. Give us a synopsis of what you shared that stirred Joe Farr so much.
Well, I'll tell you, when Joe was sitting in the audience for one of my four presentations during that
four.
Course of that trip,
wow.
I talked about what was going on with the CFPB and what's happening with the industry. And, you know, I think the first thing that's really important to note is that, you know, most mortgage bankers today, the ones that have remained in business, are having a pretty good year for a variety of different technical reasons. You know, margins are good and they're doing well. And if you take a look at it, it really is the fourth year in a row that they're doing pretty well along those particular lines. And what I like to tell my mortgage banker clients and my friends is don't let this lull you into a false sense of security.
Right.
When Congress enacted the Dodd-Frank in 2010 and created the CFPB, which opened its doors in 2011, one of the principal reasons it did that was to change the mortgage banking industry. Now, it's very debatable as to how much change was necessary in this industry.
Right.
But Congress decided it wanted it to be completely overhauled and revamped. And it wants to change the manner in which mortgage bankers conduct their business. You know, we can argue the merits of that. The reality is, for at least a period of 60 years, from 1945 to 2005, when some things started to spin a little bit out of control. But for that 60-year period of time, I mean, our mortgage finance system was equal to none in the entire world. To date, it's
exactly
equal to none in the entire world as well. It's efficient, it's open, it's fair, and it's what makes America what it is. Housing and home ownership is so important along those lines, and that's why I'm so passionate about it. But Congress made a determination that it's going to make changes. It created the CFPB with the explicit purpose of making those particular changes. And then it went ahead and set some very short deadlines for the CFPB to act. There's a whole lot of things going on over there that are very problematic. First of all, if you take a look at Dodd-Frank itself, the act itself, you know, it's a complete abdication of legislative responsibilities. Congress is supposed to make law. That's why we have a separation of powers. Congress
That's
makes
right.
law. The agencies themselves, they go ahead and implement off a statute. They don't make law themselves. They take the statute, they're charged with enforcing that and interpreting it to a certain extent itself. But Dodd-Frank told the CFPB, this newly created bureau, to go out there and put together literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of regulations. And when you look at it, that's not really regulatory rulemaking. That's basically creating a new agency and saying to them, you go make the law. I don't have the time to do it. I need to rush this through because I don't think I can get this bill passed when the new Congress changes over. So I'm going to create you guys and you go make the law itself. That becomes very problematic, and that's where we are. And we're in the midst of massive, massive regulatory changes right now, which is going to affect the industry. And I'm always concerned that when times are good, people do get lulled into a sense of false security. And they shouldn't in this particular case, because if you look at everything that's on the horizon, you'll recognize that there's a lot out there that will, in fact, change the face of this industry. I think it's fair to say, and I'll let you get your word in there, Dave, but I think it's fair to say that the next 5 months, between now and the end of January, or between now and January 21st, the future of mortgage banking is going to be decided by the CFPB.
Wow, I mean, that's a pretty profound statement. I think you look at the complacency, and I think we all sense that to one degree or another. I mean, we're happy that they're making, you know, the volumes are up, profits are crazy up, and it's really good, great margins all the way around, good times in many ways, but it's that uncertainty, and I think that's really what you're speaking about. And as we look forward to beyond this, how can you move forward? How, on what basis do you move forward with this kind of uncertainty out there? Mitch, you've been involved in Citi, and one of the things when we talked last week in preparation for this broadcast, you said you've been sitting in on the audit, and you actually made a very complimentary, favorable comment about what you've been observing. It's not been this gotcha kind of game, that these CFPB auditors are actually, well, you put it in your words. How would you characterize these audits that you've been sitting in?
Well, they are very extensive and very complete audits, examinations themselves. I have been sitting in representing clients in some of these audits and sitting in on them periodically for a variety of different reasons, not the least of which is sometimes the CFPB brings an enforcement attorney along to it, and I don't want my clients to talk to attorneys unless they're in the presence of attorneys, and nor do they want to talk to other attorneys along those lines. But the CFPB actually has been very accommodating along those lines and has raised no objections to that. So I've been doing that, and I will tell you, I think the examiners that are out there probably had a good talking to before they went out there, because they are acting in a professional manner. They are acting in a decent manner. I've seen some state regulatory exams and dealt with some state regulatory examiners that unfortunately, this isn't true of everyone there, but unfortunately it is true of some, have not been quite so professional. And I've seen methodologies that have been a gotcha methodology. What's going on with the CFPB exams is scary. It's worrisome, especially for non-banks, because they've never gone through anything like this before.
Right.
But this is a full, complete management compliance exam. That's what's happening over here. The CFPB is absolutely going to turn your company upside down and inside out. I mean, the way it works is they'll come with up to 12 people, and they will just park themselves in your company for, up to 12 weeks, and in some cases it could be even longer than that. And they will look at virtually every aspect of your operation through originations and servicing and everything in between. But what
are there a couple of highlights that you would say that came as a surprise to you? It's good to hear that they're acting professionally, but that doesn't mean that they're, like you said, they're being very, very thorough. Is there any areas that are kind of a surprise, Mitch? And also put in a word, because be shameless, you're taking time to be on your, you do seminars or you're doing training on how to do that. So explain that in your response too. So what are you finding as a surprise, and how are you helping clients become prepared?
Well, I'll answer that two ways. So far, you know, what am I finding that the CFPB is finding out there? What do I see? You know, one of the first things that the CFPB does when they go in there is they look for the integrity of your data, especially HMDA data integrity. You know, is your law correct? Is something marked as a withdrawn application when, in fact, it may have been a denial? Is the date correct? You have 30 days under ECOA to take an action. Make a credit determination once an application has been done. Are you entering the correct date in that particular law? Are you giving the date of the application, or are you simply putting the date that the law is there, in which case you may well have an ECOA problem on your hands? So one of the things that I found really interesting is that they're finding a lot of data integrity issues.
Yeah, not surprising.
And they're finding that that's incorrect. And that's very problematic. It's not something that this industry has focused on very much in the past. They're going to have to focus on it going forward. So I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that especially in the area of HMDA itself. And as you alluded to, you know, I do mock exams and mock audits following the CFPB modules that they published, the 800 pages worth that they published, and I'm finding the very same types of things when I go out there. I'm finding that, you know, data integrity is not very good on dates of disclosures, on finance charges. I mean, when you're looking through HMDA and you're finding finance charges that are listed at zero, you know you have a problem on your hands. I'm finding data integrity problems on EPR. I had a wonderful client that I know is compliance across the board. It looked like they were running, you know, out of tolerance 65% of the cases. So I rolled up my sleeve and dug into the case itself. They were perfect. They were right on target over there. They were doing fine, but they had a data integrity issue itself. And that could be a great problem for a company itself. So that was a little surprising to me. That was eye-opening.
Yeah, well, it's something we've been talking about on the broadcast. We see these when we do these warehouse reviews. We're one of the larger firms in the country doing warehouse audits on behalf of warehouse lenders when there's annual renewals, new warehouse lines, or a warehouse line increase. So we've been seeing this. Andy is just itching to get into it. Hey, he's got a question here for you, Mitch. Andy?
Yeah, hi, Dave. Hi, Andy. I mean, thanks, Dave. Hey, Mitch. Interesting to hear about the data integrity. I hate to say I'm not surprised. Hopefully we can get that tuned up. But when you're in there and talking to the examiners and did they make a request, and then there may be a follow-up request? How understanding are they being in giving you time to respond to the request that they're making for more additional information?
Well, it's a mixed bag. I mean, you know, they are on a short fuse over there, even if it's 12 weeks. Sometimes that's a short fuse because they're trying to cover a lot there. There's not much that they can do to twist your arm and force you to give that information. If you're gathering it, you're gathering it. But, you know, one of the things that I found is that different sets of examiners really do things sometimes a little differently. Some will do a nice entrance conference and learn more about your company and sit down with you, and you have, you know, your opportunity to do your little dog and pony show and tell them all about the company, your company and compliance and things of that sort. And you've already sent them documentation based on their request, and some have looked at it already. Some simply are going up, not having looked at it, and spending the, you know, their first couple of days going over those documents, and in some instances not even having an entrance conference itself. And then they go forward, and as they find things, they're asking for information. I haven't found anyone being, you know, in all honesty, and I've found this in other types of exams, but I haven't found anyone being rude about it or being demanding in the way that says that if you don't give it to me, you're in trouble or anything along those lines. But they are short fuses. They're looking for that documentation, and people are running all over the place. One of the problems that I have with the CFPB and this entire process is what I call the 365-day examination. I mean, for non-banks, you got the CFPB there. They invite all of the state regulators there. Some come and some don't, but they invite them to all of their examinations, any regulator with which you are licensed. You otherwise have other state regulatory exams going on at the same time. It's gotten to the point where non-bank companies, and when banks have been a part of this for a long time, have to staff up on the compliance side, not to keep on base with compliance itself, but just to satisfy the examiners.
Mm-hmm.
To run around and pull together everything that they're looking for. I call that the 365-day examination, which is really, really difficult on small lenders, especially.
Well, our industry hasn't been used to it, Mitch. I mean, we've been not unregulated entirely, but we have certainly, comparatively speaking, it's unregulated, but we have not had to deal with this. Banks, as Andy's been talked about all the time on the broadcast, has had to deal with it all of his banking career. He got a banking right out of college, as I did. So dealing with regulators, he was a CFO early on. He understands this, and I'm just one of those areas. But what I found is an interesting quote by someone within the CFPB, and this here's the quote. If banks think that an OCC audit is difficult, wait until they go through a CFPB audit. So it seems like there's a little bit of, I don't know if it's a one-upmanship, but I mean, they really want to get the message out. We're extremely serious, and bankers don't become complacent in thinking, well, we're used to examinations, we're set. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. You know, I've seen a number of these bank examinations as well. And I think they are much more thorough. You know, there's this feeling with some people at the CFPB that in some way it was the prudential regulators and the state regulators for the non-banks that allowed the marketplace to fall apart in 2007 and 2008, and that they weren't necessarily, watching, keeping their eye on the ball at the time. And so there's a little bit of a divide over there. Now you've got this new bureau coming into place. The examiners, they came from all over. They came from the OCC. They came from state regulatory places. And they've come from other places as well. But yet you've got this divide saying, okay, now we're here. And this is never going to happen under our watch again. And we got this covered. And so you're finding a lot of that. So there's a fair amount of bravado over there, but the reality is if you go into what they published, and they have more than 800 pages in their manual that set out their exam speeches, if nothing else, they are transparent about that. And you go into it, you take a look at what they're covering, they are much more extensive than any regulatory body ever has been in the past.
What's the document request set? I'm hearing, 35 pages, 50 pages, I mean intense document set request. What are you finding as far as documents that CFPB is requesting when they come through the door or in advance? Is it before or is it when they arrive? And how
it's
much?
Both. It's mostly before. You know, typically what they'll do is they'll come in, one person will come down, introduce themselves to the head of the company, spend a couple hours just telling them what's going to happen, how they're going to conduct the examination, things of that sort. They will either mail in or give them a document request that is very, very extensive. And,
how many pages? And give a talk about that specifically. Give our listeners a little bit of an insight into what that looks like.
It'd be difficult to give you an insight into what it looks like, but it can range from a small amount of files to up to 200 files. It includes narratives about how your company works, how your company operates, questions about how you comply with ECOA, how you comply with Fair Credit Reporting Act, how you comply with RESPA, what you do under certain scenarios. They want to see all of your contracts, all of your agreements. If you've got marketing agreements or JVs or anything else along those lines, they want everything. It is basically, the best way I can describe it is an open book examination. They want to see all of your paper, and that's the reality of it. They want to see all of your paper. They want to see all of your policies and procedures, all your papers surrounding that. And in addition to that, they want you to tell you about it. They want you to tell them about it. See, what they like to do is sit down, see whether or not you have all the proper policies and procedures in place, and then they want to see whether or not you're really following it, which is why they go on site. And then they'll interview everyone. They're going to interview from the senior most management to your loan officers and processors and underwriters and others. And they're checking to see, they're looking for consistency. What they're really looking for over here is a risk assessment. They want to know whether or not they can trust the company and, more importantly, trust the company's management. You can have a lot of findings getting things wrong, but if you have good compliance management in place where you have a company that has the ability to find these things, make the relevant changes, take the corrective action quickly, okay, then they're going to be okay with your company. They're going to be all right with that, and that's what they're really looking for. So they want to know that you've got everything in place, that management and your board of directors, for that matter, understand it. They have questions about what types of fair lending compliance members of your board of directors have gone through and other regulatory compliance matters along those particular lines. They want to know that people understand it, that you've got the systems and the procedures in place, and that you can take corrective action. You can find the problem quickly enough.
Yeah, I think, Mitch, you've been in this industry. You've been working with this industry many, many years. I've been at it for almost 38 years in September. We know the independent mortgage banking world is not known for being the most well-documented, you know, industry. Many independent mortgage bankers they kind of do what's the bare bones necessary, what's necessary out there. And I'm really concerned that message is not being really heard. I mean, heard, it's being spoken, but it's not being taken as serious. And you help companies do that. Give us some little insights into that preparedness process that you walk lenders through.
Yeah, I do. What we do with lenders are we send an audit team out ourselves. What we do first.
Oh, so you you literally send in a team as if it was CFPB walking through the door.
Yeah. I actually think CFPB could probably learn some things along those particular lines. We're pretty tough on that. Yeah.
We're getting more and more regulators from within the Beltway listening to our broadcast. So who knows? You may be training CFPB here, Shirley. Go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. For 31 years, I've been representing lenders, and quite frankly, those are my most favorite people. But what we do is we go in there, we give them a list of interrogatories, we give them a list of document requests. We also run their all their electronic data points going back at least 2 years. For federal and state compliance with all the consumer protection laws. And after we run the data points and see where there may be some weak areas and we look through their files, their procedures, their policies, we go on site. And when we go on site, we try to reconcile what we found out so far, see whether or not we have, you know, just a data integrity issue or an issue that goes beyond data integrity. And then we tell them what needs to be done. We put them in a position where hopefully they can put the right policies and procedures in place if they want to. We help them with those policies and procedures, and we monitor that on a go-forward basis for those that want us to do it. You're right. I mean, non-banks have not been used to this. They have not been subject to this type of a review, and they haven't been subject to these types of compliance requirements in the past. You know, hopefully the CFPB recognizes that. I think to a certain extent they recognize that, quite frankly. But everyone's got to come up to speed really quickly. And I know maybe the message isn't getting out, but the reality is, David, some of that message is getting out because I get phone calls, you know, my phone is ringing off the hook by lenders that want policies, procedures, want me to come in, want me to take a look. They want to comply. They want to comply.
That
they
is
just
great
want to
there.
Know what the rules are. They want to understand what the rules are.
I think the more serious lenders are really getting the message out there. It's the guys that are not, that we want, that are good people, good originators, good mortgage folks that may not be getting the message. That's why we wanted to have you on the broadcast. Mitch, we're going to take a quick break here and talk about a conference that's coming up that I think many would benefit from. It's the MBA Risk Management Conference. Mitch, stay on the line. We'll be right back with you. I want to play an interview I had with Mike Frantantoni. Mike Frantantoni, good to have you on the broadcast again. With all the uncertainty going on in the industry, Mike, these conferences are so important. You have an upcoming conference. Tell our listeners about it.
Well, thanks, Dave. I think you're right. There really has never been a more important time to focus on risk management and quality assurance issues. And that's why we've put together this conference, which is September 9th through the 11th in Dallas, MBA's Risk Management and Quality Assurance Forum.
Tell us a little bit about the content of this conference.
Certainly. So we're going to have a couple of general sessions focusing on changes in the regulatory environment, managing risk within your organization day-to-day, both loan by loan and across your institution, and managing risk in the context of these new regulations. And as such, we're going to have speakers from the FHA, from Ginnie Mae, CFPB, and from some of the bank regulatory agencies. Then we're going to have a large number of concurrent sessions in four tracks: risk analytics, underwriting, servicing QC, and quality assurance. You know, topics ranging from mitigating repurchase risk to developments in automated underwriting, looking at the latest from the rating agencies, and then the reemergence of manual underwriting. You've had too much reliance on AU in the past, and now you're having underwriters having to get back to basics and learn what it takes to underwrite a loan manually.
A lot of people need to be at this. How can they learn more? What's the website?
So you go to the MBA website, www.mortgagebankers.org, and it's right in the upper right there. It's the RMQA conference, Risk Management and Quality Assurance, September 9th through 11th in Dallas.
Listeners, I encourage you to be at these conferences. This is important, especially with all that's going on, as we talk about here on the radio program regularly. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the broadcast and telling our listeners about this important conference.
Thank you, David. Look forward to seeing everybody there.
You know, that darn mute button, Mitch, I keep forgetting to hit that thing, and so then I start talking away. These conferences are really important, Mitch. I know you speak at a lot of these. In fact, you're flying around doing those, I really appreciate that. It's really important. This one that's coming up with the NBA, I'm also speaking at the Five-Star Conference. That's the, I think, the first week. Maybe partly over the time, some of the same times that the NBA's got their conference on. But there's a lot. It's really important. Mitch, as we kind of get ready to wrap up this broadcast, we've got probably about five more minutes. I would like to have your perspective on the macro view of our industry. You know, the Treasury came out with their announcement that they're accelerating the wind down of the agencies. Your thoughts on that, and what do you think this means to our industry?
All right, let me just quickly give you one plug on another webcast. On September 6th, on behalf of the MBA, I'm doing a two-hour webcast on how to prepare for a CFPB exam.
Good.
So
good.
You may want to take a look at that as well.
Let's repeat that. What's the dates on that, Mitch? Because I want everyone registering for that.
September 6th.
September 6th, which is what day of the week?
I don't know. I don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah, you know what? I'm trying to dig it up right now fast. But anyway, September 6th. You're doing a webinar through Campus Webinar. For those of you that have not registered for a Campus MBA, go to Campus MBA, search. What's the title of the webinar?
How to prepare for the CFPB exam.
All right, so we got that out there, everybody. Get out there. It is the Thursday. Andy just brought it up. So it's Thursday. All right, let's talk about the Treasury's decision to wind down or accelerate the wind down of Fannie and Freddie. What does this mean to the industry? Your perspective on it, Rich?
Well, it's clear that they are going to wind it down. The biggest issue that we have is we're 5 years since the collapse of the mortgage market and the secondary market. We are completely reliant upon the government. The government has virtually taken over the entire mortgage market, certainly the entire secondary mortgage market. We know that they want to shut down Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and Treasury has basically sent that signal that it's going to start right away. But we don't really know what they're going to put in their place. Now, there are a variety of different commissions. There's a bipartisan commission on the GSEs, and I've had the opportunity to speak to some members on that commission and to comment on some of their proposals, but I'm not at liberty to lay them out now because they are just drafts. So we know that there are people working on it from both parties. There is a bipartisan commission along those lines, and there are other commissions, you know, that FHFA is involved in as well. You know, the marketplace has been sick for a long time. It's been non-existent from the private sector. There are hardly any securitizations that are not government securitizations, and I don't think it's going to pick up, quite frankly, despite the fact that, you know, we're seeing a little bump in housing right now unless something dramatic is done. This is what should have been wrestled with back in 2007 and especially in 2008 on a going-forward basis.
Right.
Instead, the regulatory emphasis that we saw was on policing the industry as opposed to fixing the secondary market, which is the most important thing. It's very late in the process, but it's time to get it done. We need to know. I mean, there's a lot of money on the sideline, as you know. There's a lot of capital out there. There's a lot of interest. I have a lot of clients sitting on the sideline that are very, very much interested in this marketplace, but they don't know what it's going to look like, and they don't know what the regulatory front's going to be like. And so this is just the beginning of it, quite frankly. It's a little scary, yes, you know, winding down Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and probably a little foolish starting that without knowing what the alternative is going to be. But hopefully, hopefully they'll get there quickly with a design for an alternative, because we do need one.
Well, the part that I find curious, the timing, as you point out, and the fact that it's an election year, I'm wondering if it's like, oops, we probably should have done something about this before this, but at least let's get something in motion so we can say we are doing something about it and have it as a talking point. So hopefully we're going to be able to get a chance to get out there. We're hopefully be interviewing that or being a part of that discussion and want you to be a part of that with us, Mitch. And I'll be doing that CNBC broadcast today on this very topic. So I only made a couple of notes. I'm going to steal a couple of your talking points. I'll try to give you credit on the air when I'm at that.
Well, that's okay.
The listeners, it's 3 o'clock Eastern time. It's at the hour. I'm not sure what block. And in the world of broadcast, they break it into the A, B, C, and D block, 15-minute block. I'm not sure which block I'm in, but I'm in the studio with makeup on starting at 3 o'clock Eastern time. So I assume I'll be in one of the first blocks there, the first segment. So, Mitch, you'll hear me quoting you. You could just smile real big. Mitch, I think that it's so important that we really get the word out about the industry and where things are at. We appreciate you taking some time today out of your busy schedule to be back. I will be featuring this broadcast as one of the featured broadcasts on this. So, folks, get the word out. Email this broadcast around to your staff to listen to. If you're a business executive and you're trying to get the word out, we need to change the way we're doing business, staff. And they just see it as, yeah, the boss is trying to get us to do something again. It's all about him. That's not the truth. A business executive, take this broadcast, get it around, pass it around to your team. Have them listen to it. Make it required listening. Mitch gives a really sober but dynamic and important summation of where we're going as an industry. Mitch, we appreciate you so much taking time out of your busy schedule and being with us. Thank you. We can't wait to have you back.
All right. Thank you, David. It's a pleasure.
Look forward to having you back soon. Thank you. Folks, we're going to take one more brief break, and then we're going to come back and talk about ELA compensation and talk about a broadcast next week. We'll be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Andy Schell, there's a lot of people listening to this broadcast going, what do? I just want out. Get me out. Talk. Tell our listeners what we do.
Well, quick, very, very, very quickly, if you go through those CFPB exams and you go, I don't know that I want to keep doing this, but I want to stay in mortgage. I love bringing home ownership to the community as a whole. Then there's ways to do this. We're working with commercial banks all around the country that are looking to buy mortgage companies. So if you're a mid-sized mortgage company, you love the business, but you don't like the hassles of this regulatory stuff, give us a call. We can help you get acquired by a bank.
Yep, lots of banks interested. Mitch has got them out there. We've got them. Talk to you soon, folks. Thanks for being part of the broadcast. Look forward to having you back next week. And tune in. We're going to be talking about ELO compensation. We'll be studied up and ready to get into it deep and in detail. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.